City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago and the Light in the Piazza. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 112. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hello, Peter.
It's good to be back.
Wow, it's summer.
It is. It's sweaty and sticky.
I missed being apart with you last week, but I love that we kind of did our own little flavor and then kind of got to see what that was like.
A little bit of Mitchell in there. You know, I love Mitchell to death, but he totally sounds like a Jewish woman you'd hang out with and sip coffee and eat kugel with.
Well, that's good.
That's I know he'd love me saying that. That's why I'm saying it.
Well, but one day, Mitchell lives in my house. And so we were, one day he came downstairs. He was so upset. Mitchell, I'm telling stories. I hope you don't think I'm gossiping. But he was so upset because he had been dealing with his wireless phone company for like hours and hours and hours. And he kept talking to this person who kept calling him ma'am. And he was like, first of all, I am not a ma'am. Secondly, you need to fix my shit. Because he was so upset. But anyhow. Yeah, I love Mitchell Fain. He is a delight. And we had fun. And it's just, you know,
he's good people.
He's
a good boy. There are bad boys in this world.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you about this bad boy. Okay. So I was supposed to have this date. I'm just going to air on my dirty laundry. I was supposed to have this date with this very handsome man.
Yep.
And in fact, this was a very handsome man who was in The Idol a couple of years ago, who I didn't realize he was in The Idol. Remember the cowboy?
Yeah.
With the black beard?
Yeah.
Not going to name names, but yes, that handsome man. We were supposed to have a date.
Okay. I don't remember his name, but it's a guy, so I wouldn't probably remember.
I get an email from him the first go round about 2 hours before our date. I don't even get a phone call.
Yep.
I get an email from him. I'm sorry, I can't make it. I'm not feeling well. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, you're sick. Whatever. We reschedule. He's enthusiastic about the second date. And then I get another email 3 hours before the date. I'm sorry, I can't make it. I'll make it up to you. No, you won't make it up to me. One time, shame on you. Twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Aww.
So, but with that said, I met a delightful young gentleman just the other day. So one door closes, the other door opens. In fact, I'm going to see him tonight. So that's good.
It's fun. I love that you're kind of sharing your dirty laundry, because I actually was just at an event a couple of nights ago that Baird & Warner sponsored. That's called Out at the Office, and it's just a social networking party that was at Circuit Nightclub. And you know, it's kind of a business card passing cocktail,
social network
thing. And it was a lot of fun.
For the boys.
And of course, who do I attract but the only straight guy that's in the room with his wife? There were more than one, but a really nice guy. And he and I were sitting talking, and he was like, so do you talk about like women that you've dated, and do you trash like people in your past and exes? And I was like, I talk about my life, you know, but I've got a partner. And he was like, well, does she get upset that you talk about? And I was like, I really don't air my dirty laundry.
No.
I was like, but I might say something about somebody I dated but never name names,
right,
and say they did dot, 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 you know?
Exactly.
So it was really funny. And there were some other people standing around. They got very intrigued about, you know, having a microphone and being able to put that out there. And so we were talking about that. So that's hilarious that you say that. Speaking also of Circuit Nightclub this week, and you're going to hear her later on the show today, because we have the 2006 Windy City Gay Idol, Christy Fairbairn, with us, who has really just reigned amazingly.
Yeah.
She may, to me, obviously, I think she has had the biggest accolades of any idol that we've had or opportunities. But she also is just such a pure joy to work with. Such a nice
and
gal.
Her speaking voice is just so beautiful. I can't even stand it. Not to mention her singing voice, but just the way she speaks and her inflection and her tones. I was like, oh, I love your pipes.
She's fantastic.
You got good pipes, girl.
But we will be at Circuit this Friday, this week, on June 15th. And if you're listening to this like months from now, you missed it.
Loser.
But June 15th, we will be at Circuit for the big Windy City Gay Idol Finals, the fifth annual. And I am telling you, I expect this to be a a very big year.
It
I
is.
Have predicted that a boy will win.
Yes.
I'm still not sure about that now, but I still think a boy will probably, I think we will have at least two in the top three will be men. You always have a woman. And I want to know if this is true. It seems that the women contestants bring more people out. And it seems that that is why the women contestants have won the past few years. Doesn't nothing against Christy, nothing against Carrie, but ultimately it is a contest about who votes. And I think we've had the right person win the past few years, definitely. But the women can really bring people out. I don't know why that is. I would think that boys are always like, hey, girl, come and join me, you know,
yeah,
kind
but
of
see,
mentality.
In Chicago, the tradition, because all the clubs are so close, the tradition is to go to one place for a little bit and then to go to another place and then to go to another place. And now you're asking your friends to commit to like 5 hours in the same club.
It's not five and it's hours. Not, it's two and a half.
Okay, so you're asking your friends to commit to 2.5 hours in the club.
Fun and drinking and festivities.
I don't disagree with you, but hear me out. Hear me out. The boys like to get it started much later, number one. The girls get it started much earlier. That's just that's the Chicago scene. That's just how it works. And number two, the boys want to get in the club, stand and pose and be social before they get their drink on.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it doesn't happen so much at the idol.
I don't know if that's what it is, though, because they go to plays and they start at 8 o'clock. They go to concerts and things like that that start, I mean, we're not starting at 4. And we filled Sidetrack. There were a lot of guys there.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
There were almost more men there than there were women. We have more male contestants this year in our top 21. But it's just interesting. It's interesting that those women, and also I think sometimes they just are more seductive on stage. In kind of getting the crowd turned around. Like once your contestant gets voted out, because we have three rounds of voting.
Yeah.
Once your contestant gets voted out, you know, I think they're really good at that showmanship.
Maybe.
So we'll see. We will see.
Women also travel in bigger packs than boys too.
Do we?
Yes. Well, especially in
even
the
straight girls. Cause we say, you know, go to the bathroom together and all.
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Girl, I got your back. You go over there. So
men
women
are scared of the intimacy of the male friendship.
They're not scared of the intimacy. They're trying to get their groove on. So they don't want to be out with seven people and they'll be like, okay, I'm go and then everyone's gonna be like, we know where he's going. We know who he's going home with. So, you know, boys tend to travel in smaller packs. With that said, I love when there's like nine of us going out and rolling on the town.
Yeah.
It's usually four couples and me, the single boy. And that way nobody's trying to hook up except for me. So they're all trying to introduce me to
everyone. There
everybody.
You go. It becomes all about you.
I'm Blanche all of a sudden.
I think nights that are all about Peter Maverick should just be declared once a month. I do. I think it should just be the night for Peter. We should start an ad campaign
in
night spots and on the Queercast. Tonight is the Peter Maverick pack night. We call it the pack. And we just go out and
you are not whoring my ass for a prop. No, I'm not.
Yeah, let's go. But it's going to be so much fun. Stephen Rader will be there with us judging David Serta from Helena Handbag. He's kind of turned out to be the Simon, which I love.
He really has. And he's, I think he's really good though.
He cuts it to the quick, man.
He does.
Stephen Rader's all enthusiasm, all sass. And Heather Schmucker will be very professional and give us a very efficient answer of what it takes. Cause she is the top producer. One of the top lesbian or gay producers of theater in the United States with About Face Theater. So she was one of the producers of I Am My Own Wife, which went on to Broadway. Mm-hmm. And so we've got three really great judges and it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
So please come out to Circuit. Doors open at 7, 8 o'clock start, and it goes for about 2.5 hours, and somebody will be crowned that night. A lot of big prizes,
and
we're giving away a trip for two. All you have to do is show up and be there. It's free. You're entered to win. Trip for two to Toronto.
Oh, yeah. The gentleman who won, I believe his name was
Matt.
Jonathan. Matt. His name is Matt.
I think
he was like shaking. He was so happy and so
how
thrilled.
Exciting for him.
And he's like, this is so perfect. And I saw him outside of Sidetrack afterwards, and he was just so ecstatic about it. So
it's a big trip. I mean, you get a pair of American Airline tickets and a trip for two. You're going to go to Toronto and then
to
Niagara
to hang
out.
How
fabulous
is
that? A little pass and lots of things to do while you're there.
Wonderful, wonderful little trip.
So we're giving away one more trip. So show up, tell your friends, tell two more friends and so on and so on and so on. So they might have to take you to Toronto if you win.
I don't. There you go. Totally. So Big Love is starting here in a minute.
Utah. It never looked so sexy. Jeannie Triplehorn is sexier than any Mormon wife I've ever seen in my days.
She kind of is. She's kind of got this weird thing behind her eyes that there's something.
She's gotten prettier though, because she was not that hot in Basic Instinct. She's gotten so much hotter.
Oh, I think it was, I don't know. I think Basic Instinct, the whole point was to make everybody look hideous except for Sharon Stone.
I don't know.
Everybody's always
been a bit quirky, but her quirkiness has kind of filled out in her 40s.
Well, her lips have filled out too, so
she's
gotten something going on there. She's got a good doctor. I was just watching Aliens, and I contrast between Aliens. Little tiny baby Bill Paxton. Game over, man.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
You know, now as the lead of this
game
family.
Game over, man. I forgot about that.
Oh my God. It's so good. But I cannot wait to see if they really pick up on the lesbian subplot. Remember when the two wives were playing footsies when they were playing bridge?
Oh, you mentioned this, and I kind of
did you
remember
miss it?
It
you missed
I,
it.
No, I don't think I missed it, but it didn't impact me in the same way it impacted you, and I need
the
it
Mormons
to. Why did
and the
it not?
Lesbians.
Well, you know, I've slept with my first lesbian in Utah.
Did she have the
she was
underwear?
Not Mormon.
Oh.
She was not Mormon. We just both happened to be in Utah. But I'm just telling you, it can abound there. There's no caffeine. There's no chocolate.
It was
there's
the canyons.
Very little, there's no alcohol.
All the canyons enticed
you. And you have something
you.
Called Family Day. Family Day. We are family.
You know, we found a ton of alcohol when we were in Utah.
Did you?
I don't know how we found it.
We had to search high and low, and
I
wasn't legal. So.
I was with a Brit, so they heard the accent and were like, well, yeah, he must like the booze.
I mean, it was hard to find a bar, and I
don't remember a bar. I remember stores selling liquor. I don't remember a bar.
Yeah, I went to a bar or a bar in the back of like a restaurant. It felt very bootleg.
Speakeasy.
Yeah, it did. It even had a curtain. There was like an archway, and then there was a velvet curtain, and then we walked back behind there.
No, we got all boozed
and
up.
I have no clue how I got anything to drink because I was underage, but I did.
Wow. We bought a couple of bottles of Kahlua, some vodka, and we couldn't find heavy cream, so we just bought vanilla ice cream, and we ended up just like pouring the vanilla ice cream. This is great. Me and my friend Tim, two beds in the room, he's a good friend of mine, we're touring around in the desert, and we watched What's Love Got to Do With It and got drunk on Kahlua and ice cream.
And did you nom-myoho-ringge?
He was like...
Nom-myoho-ringge, nom-myoho-ringge.
Right. Why is he doing hitting her like that? Yeah. That's not proper.
That's hilarious.
It was so good. It was such a good movie, though.
God.
I have this ring. Yeah.
I honestly, you know, I got really blitzed because that's how I slept with a woman in Utah.
Did it take
like,
you to get blitzed or her
magnum,
to get blitzed?
All
the above. Little from comment, little from comment.
Everybody in the room. Everybody in the room.
Yay.
No, it was a lot of champagne. That's all I remember. On champagne. I had my first lesbian experience drunk on champagne. That's kind of
the bubbles will do you.
It's very upper class of me, isn't it? And I don't think it
Helen
was like,
Mirren would approve.
Yes, I don't think it was like some cheap champagne either. So
really, well, that's good. Well, you know what? I can't taste the difference between expensive and champagne and cheap champagne. But the next day,
you can
feel the difference between expensive champagne and cheap champagne.
Oh God!
The Center on Halsted opened. The big ribbon cutting ceremony was just the other day.
It's so beautiful. You know, it really looks so nice. And I have not gotten to explore all of the inside.
I haven't either.
But the lobby and just the fact that this, I love that metaphorically, the more than half glass structure is kind of the theme of that we will not be hidden. We will not hide. We will be totally open and welcoming. And they have enormous internet resources there that are free. You can go in and use a computer and use the internet. They have the gymnasium. They have the theater where the choirs are starting, the choruses are starting to sing. And a lot of the gay or gay allied theater companies and comedy groups, Gayco, are all going to be performing. It's going to be really, really fun.
I really want them to start doing film stuff because I would love to host like a queer indie film festival. I would love to do that. So
I don't know if they have a screen in that room, but that would be a great idea.
I will buy the screen.
Honestly,
for the room.
I think that they have so much programming, but it feels to me like it's a very open environment for leaders in our community like yourself to walk in and say, I would like to take charge of this. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of volunteer time and a lot of stuff being just offered to the community, and even to do that once every other month.
Yeah. Maybe we can grab Richard because the babies need to, and not even the babies, the people who have just come out. I think, you know, film is such an interesting way to learn so much about queer history. I mean, you know, before Stonewall and after Stonewall are two sort of seminal movies, I would say, in what's going on. And they're very slanted in their opinion about the history. But I think those, you know, like those two and Torch Song Trilogy, those have to be the first queer movies that I think you need to see, because two are history lessons and one is just, wow, this is really, you know, this is gay bashing. This is the effects of it. This is what happens. So I think that, I want to like do a, okay, I got to make some phone calls. I'm writing a note to self.
You're speaking of Stonewall, which reminds me of Judy Garland, which reminds me of Liza Minnelli, which reminds me of the story that my friend just told me. I'm just trying to let y'all know how my brain works. Oh. My friend Elaine Dame, that I have sung with for years, who's now
her last
great,
name is Dame.
Her name is Dame.
That's hot.
And we used to sing in an acoustic folk trio, and she's been doing jazz now music for a really long time. And Elaine was just singing at the Drake when who happens to pop in? Liza with a Z.
Really?
And sings at the piano with
her. Lovely.
Lit out of her mind.
Of course.
Lit out of her mind. But was delightful. So much fun. Elaine said was just great. Sang a couple of songs with Billy Stritch, who was there with her.
Wow.
Did a couple of numbers, and then Elaine did a couple of numbers. She said it was just her brush with greatness, and how amazing. And
she finished with a song called Fuck You, I Hate You, David Guest.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably. But she was giving Elaine some tips on her hair and makeup and telling her, girl, you need to zhuzh it up and put on some more makeup, and was showing her some little movements. Was, you know, Elaine is 6'4". I mean, she's like this giraffe, these long, long, gorgeous legs. And Liza was loving her legs. So, you know.
Mama would have been proud of me
Drake.
If I had legs.
Wow, all at the Drake.
I need to go drinking at the Drake.
I think it's the
more.
Old boys club. And then I was just talking to Martha from Fly Life.
Oh.
No, who
Hi,
helps
Martha.
Us connect with all our amazing musical artists. And she was just talking about, you know, Rufus Wainwright just released his release, The Stars. And she was just saying that when he started doing songs from this was a concert, I think in New York, he did some of the songs from the new CD, and then he excused himself for an intermission, and then he came back in full Judy Garland drag and did
really?
Judy Garland and did numbers with the top hat and the vest and the jacket from I think it was from Stage Door. Is that what that's from?
It was. The original one that was cut out of the MGM musical was Mr. Monotony. That was one of the first times she wore that little costume, which was on the show with you and Mitchell. I just played Judy on the last show for
you
and Mitchell.
That's right. So anyhow, that's my
show before last.
That's my connection with Judy.
And I know this guy. It's like the Kevin Bacon. How can you get to...
Yeah. That all just happened this week. Those are conversations. That's how Liza and Judy come into the vocabulary of a homosexual, if you're straight and listening. How they come into the vocabulary of a homosexual,
absolutely,
usually at least once a week. And those were
really
this week.
You're
Why
right.
Why not?
I think you're right. And all your good friends that you keep around you, I swear to God... I just learned this the other day. Like some people have like, you know, two or three like really good friends. Sometimes there's four. There's like you and three others.
Yep.
And each of these three people you get different things from.
Mm-hmm.
But when the four of you go out, you tend to dress like the Heathers. There's usually one red one, one blue one, one yellow one, and one green one.
Interesting.
It kind
I'm
of
check
almost
that
always happens.
I always have more than four around me, or just two.
Well, you'll find the Heather's colors, I promise, if you just look right. It's the whole, right, you know, the whole croquet set. And
I
the
do.
Red.
I
yeah.
do.
It almost always happens. I've just been studying this because, of course, the Golden Girls.
Yes.
I always dress like that.
Yes.
Whether or not it was a conscious choice, I don't know. I think they were just trying to make them look colorful and Floridian. I think that's a word, Floridian.
It is a word. That's a word I don't use very often, but I like it.
There you go. It always makes me think of like Florida from...
Well, it is Florida. It's based on the word Florida.
Florida from... What was it? Different Strokes? Not Different Strokes.
I have no idea.
Good Times.
Oh.
Good Times.
Yes. Ain't we lucky we got them?
Do you know who sang that?
Good
Jeanette
times.
Dubois.
Oh, really?
She's the one who actually said... Well, Loma is the one who actually did the theme song.
How funny.
She's also the one who did the Jeffersons. Fish don't fry in the kitchen.
Gotta love it.
That's Willoma. I'm just rambling now, but we have Christy Fairbairn on the show with us, and we ramble with her. We had a nice little coffee and a little sweet with her, and you know,
we
were at
Taste of Heaven.
Taste of Heaven. I always want to call it Heaven on Seven.
Clark and Balmoral.
Right. Just stone's throw from the Atmosphere Club, Clark and Balmoral.
Which we got to talk to her right before we went into our last item event.
And had a great time there. So, folks, we've got Christy Fairbairn for you. We've got the news, as always.
God, so much going on.
So much
news. Shocking television news.
Pride month for ya. But folks, stick with us. We'll be back after this.
The overture begins. The music swells. You're swept away to the Piazza Michelangelo to discover the light in the piazza. Broadway's most romantic new musical in years and the winner of 6 2005 Tony Awards. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian, and it begins. The passion, the romance, Broadway's ultimate love story, The Light in the Piazza. Critics have hailed it a must-see, a consummate work of beauty, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story.
The Light in the Piazza.
It won the critics. It won the Tonys.
Now let it win your heart. The Light in the Piazza.
His romantic new musical is coming to the Auditorium Theater July 10th through July 22nd. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, baby.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 11, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Now on stage at Victory Gardens Biographed is acclaimed lesbian playwright Claudia Allen's I Sailed with Magellan, adapted from Chicago author Stuart Dybbuk's provocative novel. Breathe deep, look and listen as Allen transforms from the page to the stage, Dybbuk's memories of Chicago's backstreets circa 1950. Passionate, poetic, profane, and powerful. For tickets to I Sailed with Magellan, call 773-871-3000 or go to victorygardens.org.
Northwestern University presents three new musical theater events at its Summer Music Theater Festival beginning June 21st with The Chicago Sound Connection, written, directed, and choreographed by David H. Bell. The festival's featured musical will be In the Bubble, opening July 27th, directed by Michael Grief, director of Rent on Broadway. Tickets start at $25. Call 847-491-7282 or visit tic.northwestern.edu.
The grandeur of Shakespeare and the signature intimacy of writers' theater combine to create the potential for theatrical nirvana. Othello, the masterpiece of a general led into a frenzy of jealousy and insecurity by his most trusted soldier. Come closer to Shakespeare than you've ever thought possible and fully realize the breathtaking characters of the world's greatest playwright. For more about Othello, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Openly gay actor, author, comic, and playwright Scott Capurro comes to the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway during Pride Month for two nights only, June 29th and 30th at 8 p.m. Don't miss his hilarious and provocative show on gay culture and life. Tickets are only $15. For tickets to Scott Capurro, call 866-468-3401 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
Looking Glass Alice returns to its home at Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks June 20th after an East Coast tour. Based on Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and through the Looking Glass, Looking Glass Alice is an acrobatic, playful show for all ages. Variety called it extraordinary. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Great Toronto Summer Adventures! Today's episode, We Will Rock You! Legend has it that audiences at Queen's smash hit musical can't help but leap to their feet when the music starts. This is nonsense, of course, but it serves as a metaphor for... Oh my... Woohoo! Oh, I meant to do that. Hotel rates from $92 a night, some conditions apply. Details at TorontoSummerAdventures.com. Oh, my head.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Gay rights organizations and even presidential candidate Senator Barack Obama criticized President Bush's nomination of Dr. James Holsinger as the next Surgeon General. Obama said America's top doctor should be a doctor for all Americans. I have serious reservations about nominating someone who would inject his anti-gay ideology into critical decisions about health and well-being of our nation. In 1991, Holsinger wrote Pathophysiology of Male Homosexuality, in which he said, among other things, that anal sex is not natural. He should talk to
he
Peter.
He never saw the monkeys. The monkeys do it.
That's right. He also helped remove openly lesbian Reverend Irene Beth Stroud from her church in Philadelphia.
The U.S. Navy has again assigned an openly gay sailor to duty in the individual ready reserves. Former Petty Officer Second Class Jason Knight, a linguist who recently appeared in Chicago to protest General Peter Pace's appearance at the University of Chicago, has been placed on IRR duty until April 9th, 2009, even though he has publicly come out. Knight has served openly during two tours of duty.
Betty Travis, a clinical psychologist who fought for fat acceptance, passed away May 7th at the age of 55. Travis's partner, Linda Marino, said that she died of a complication from cancer. Travis felt it was unacceptable for people to be denied job opportunities or access to facilities and services because of their physicality.
The Wisconsin legislature has rejected a measure that would have provided domestic partner benefits to state employees. The House Budget Committee voted against the measure, with Republicans saying the proposed bill would violate Wisconsin's ban on same-sex marriage.
The GLBT paper Out and About Nashville was removed from the free publication areas of 34 local Kroger stores. The city's GLBT Chamber of Commerce has urged its members to consider grocery shopping alternatives. Also, the New York City Comptroller's Office, which has a pension fund with almost $90 million invested in Kroger, is determining if it should keep investing.
In New York, a man has sued the manufacturer of the health drink Boost Plus, saying that the drink gave him an erection that lasted far too long. Oh no, Christopher Woods, no pun intended, claimed that he bought the drink in June 2004, drank it, and awoke the next morning with, quote, an erection that would not subside.
Ooh la la.
Woods said that he had to have a shunt implanted to move blood away from that part of the body. Oh my God, surgery on the...
Oh, Lord. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that more women, especially those in their late teens and 20s, are experimenting with bisexuality. 11.5% of women aged 18 to 44 said they have had at least one sexual experience with another woman. About a decade later, 4% of women aged 18 to 59 said the same thing.
Kinsey, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
JustGotDiagnosed.com just launched for individuals recently diagnosed with chronic medical conditions, including HIV and AIDS, and their loved ones. Gary McLean, a licensed counselor, research consultant, and author, developed the new site to help people take control of their lives after receiving a diagnosis.
Isaiah Washington has lost his job. 5 months after using an anti-gay slur, Washington has been booted from the TV show Grey's Anatomy. Washington met with GLBT community leaders earlier this year after referring to co-star T.R. Knight as a faggot, even went to rehab after using the word a second time at this year's Golden Globes. However, ABC declined to renew his contract. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, Washington said in a statement from his publicist. However, Entertainment Weekly reported T.R. Knight, the recipient of Washington's first outburst, has gotten a raise to $125,000 per episode.
I still don't believe it. Oprah Winfrey has picked Jeffrey Eugenides Middlesex, about hermaphrodite, as her next book club selection. Eugenides won a Pulitzer Prize in 2003 for the book. His first book, The Virgin Suicide, was made into a movie by Sofia Coppola.
Yay, Oprah. And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Hey, this is Del Shores, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
In June of 2006, in Circuit Nightclub, the Windy City Gay Idol was literally busting out at the seams all over. It was a huge, huge event. And we are heading up to our fifth annual Windy City Gay Idol. And as you've heard Peter and I say, this has been the biggest year yet. The biggest crowds at every bar. I think that the semifinals and finals are going to be something to behold. And we are thrilled to have with us, sitting down for a cup of coffee before our last preliminary event, before the wild card, sitting down with Christy Fairbairn, who was the Windy City Gay Idol in 2006. And what a year you have had. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's thrilling to have a little cup of coffee and a cookie with you, a little sweet tea.
Yes. So let's rewind all the way back a year.
Oh, Jesus.
You found out. You had just moved here.
You were new to Chicago.
I moved here 2005 in September. And kind of, it was after a softball game. We were like big gay softball game.
Big and lesbian we were, softball
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Big lesbian softball game. And it was definitely fast pitch.
And you were at Stargaze.
Yeah, I was at Stargaze, and it was sort of the struggle because I was really tired, and I was living in Palatine at the time, and we were just like, okay, let's just go. It's karaoke. I love karaoke. It'll be fun. And we went, and I ended up just sort of like dominoed into just everything that happened after that. It was like a whirlwind. So a really good sort of decision on my part to be like, let's just try it. So, and obviously it took me to the finals, which then took me to all the other great places I got to.
Do you remember what you sang that first night at Stargaze?
The first night at Stargaze, I actually sang When You're Good to Mama, and they were not big on that one, which that's one of my favorite songs to sing.
From Chicago.
From Chicago.
It's a show tune for the lesbians, and you and I are probably the only lesbians who really like
right,
show
exactly.
tunes. So you got my vote that night, I'm sure.
Sure did, come on.
And the thing about it was that, because I'm used to just doing karaoke. I've performed all my life, but this was karaoke, and it was karaoke. And after I got judged by them, and they said, well, you were lacking this charisma, and I was like, you know what? I was, because I was doing karaoke. It was drunken entertainment for most people, you know? So when they said that, the next song was Sin Wagon by the Dixie Chicks. And that, I was just like, okay, if I want to really do this, I need to put some pizzazz, some spear fingers into this whole deal. And that's really, I think that was what did it, was the Sin Wagon, because I realized, wait a minute, I'm not just doing karaoke for a bunch of drunk people in a bar. I'm doing karaoke for, a woman who's done jazz for a really long time and who really wants to see something. So I had to change my
attitude.
That was
one of the judges
it.
That
right,
you had
yeah.
that night.
Yeah, so yeah, I remember it kind of clear as day.
So tell me what your background in music is.
I have to mention my mother, because last time I didn't mention my mother, last time we did this radio interview, and she tore me a new one. I said my father and my sister and my brother have all sang, but my mother did as well.
All right.
So shout out to Mom. Love you, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
We love
yeah.
you, Mama.
Yeah.
Mama Fairbear.
Right. Actually, it's Kirkpatrick, but she'll take it one way or the other.
Mama K, I love that.
Mama K.
Mama K. What's up, Mama K?
Yes. Special K, Mama K.
Mm-hmm. So it actually started when I was really, really little. My dad and my sister and I would kind of like sing lullabies before we'd go to bed.
And this is in Boston?
No, this is actually in Virginia.
In Virginia.
I've moved 22 times, so
okay.
It's really varying places.
22.
But this was growing up in Virginia, and
now are you a Southern Virginia person or
no?
Not
I am very
Southern.
Much Northern. I am right outside D.C. I am.
Let the
I always
show.
Love people who don't.
I am under the Mason-Dixon line.
I know, but not really. I'm
right.
with you. That's why
right.
I asked the question.
Exactly.
Those of us who are of the original Confederate states, we
right,
usually
exactly.
ask,
exactly.
So which Virginia are you?
Yes, I'm the Northern Virginia.
There you go.
And
I won't hold that against you. Christy.
Thank you.
So
thank
okay.
you. What it actually parlayed into was. Talent shows and all this type of stuff that I would do with my sister and do individual talents, and it took me to like Richmond, like the capital of Virginia, and by the time I got to high school, I was singing in choirs, and I was in like advanced choirs when I was younger, and being one of the youngest kids in the class, and what had eventually happened my junior year of high school was that it actually took me to Boston, and I was able to go and sing in Boston in a performance talent show type of setting, and that's where I found my school, which is a tiny little conservative Christian college school. Go Jerry Falwell.
Yeah.
The late great.
Yeah.
There I actually took 4 years of choir, including a chamber choir, which was like a traveling type of choir, and we did a lot of like Renaissance types of shows.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
like madrigal singing?
Yeah, madrigals, exactly.
Not Anna Madrigal from Tales of the City,
no.
but just
no.
madrigal singing.
Just regular plain old madrigals.
So you had really kind of a classical and harmony background.
Right.
Like learning how to harmonize with
yeah.
people, which is a
yeah.
lot of things that you find people who can really sing and they
right.
could never sing a lick of harmony with anybody.
Exactly.
As people who are making gazillions of dollars right now, I can
right.
probably tell you could never sing harmony with anybody.
Definitely. So I have a lot of classical training. I took one semester of voice lessons and loathed every minute. I hated it.
Scaled she, again?
Right. Did you feel harnessed by it?
Well,
did you feel like it
definitely
wasn't
definitely harnessed by it
yeah.
because she was like, I think that you should sing this way. And I'm thinking, lady, I've been been singing for 20 years at this point.
Right.
I don't need you to tell me how you want me to sing because of anything. I don't like the way I sound, and I don't like the way I express myself. It wasn't expressing myself. It was conforming to the way that she thought that I would sound best.
Right.
I gave that up. I told her, my mom says it's really expensive. I can't do this anymore. Instead of taking the strong route, like, lady, come on. Yeah. This is ridiculous. So,
but that's a big challenge, you know, as somebody who sings, as you find your voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big challenge. The good thing is you have a really strong, powerful voice for people who have not heard you. It's a huge voice. And, you know, and so sometimes if you're not doing things correctly, you can really screw yourself,
right.
Which is what I did.
Absolutely.
For a number of years.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like you at least luckily had everything
right.
in play. So
yep.
then you can sing however you want.
And you grew up
you know?
With your voice. You
right.
matured with it. It changed right.
right
along with you. You felt it out.
Exactly.
You've worked through it the entire time as opposed to some people who only begin their singing careers
right.
so,
right.
when they're older.
And
so.
And based on, like, I think I always think about American Idol, people that are coached.
Yeah.
They've been singing all their lives, but then they're like coached, and it just becomes this entirely different avenue for them.
Yeah.
Whereas definitely with me, it's just something, I literally was born with it. I never liked anything like the teaching and the coaching. I hate music theory. Anything having to do with,
I've never taken a class in my
right.
life.
And God, I love it.
He loves it. He plays a ton.
See, and that's yeah. different. That's an entirely different part of yeah. musicality, I
right.
think, and musicianship,
yeah.
is being able to play an instrument and
yeah.
read music, because you get an entirely different take. Singing for me is something I can do it in the shower, I can do it in the car. I don't have to have anything, and that's why it's good for me, because if I have to do this and sing, I can't play the guitar and sing. It's just, I'm going to mess myself up. So
when you place this Stargaze, and for people who are listening and are not in the Chicago area, we have a number of preliminary competitions at different bars. We pick two singers from each one of those bars, and they come back. There's 22 singers who perform at a semifinals, who each do one song, and then it's eliminated down to 12. So you made it to the top 12. What goes into your head? Because you only have a couple of weeks. When you know that to win the whole thing, you've got to sing three songs.
Right.
You've got to encourage a huge audience of, you know, 400 or 500 people to vote for you. Surely you can bring a lot of your friends, but at some point, those friends of friends are getting eliminated,
right.
and they
exactly.
have to start turning and going, I like
exactly.
this girl.
Yeah.
So what was kind of your thought process and your strategy, or was there a strategy around what you were going to sing, costumes, all that kind of stuff?
Okay, I can start out with what I was going to sing. I picked All That Jazz, which is also from Chicago, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
There's a theme here. All That Jazz from Chicago, only because I knew that it was one of those songs that as soon as you hear that first measure, people are like, oh my God, I know this song, I love this song. And it's fun, because that first song you want automatically people to be like, whoa, this is a big number. Like,
her, she's the one
right.
who sang that song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I sang At Last by Etta James. And really what I wanted, the difference between those two songs is clearly huge.
Yeah.
And so I also wanted to demonstrate my versatility, being able to sing different songs.
Well, jazz is a performance. All That Jazz is a performance song. And
right.
At Last is a really heart.
Right.
Mean, it's a really emotional ballad.
Exactly. Exactly. And then to end it with Sin Wagon, which is another like crowd starter.
Country.
And it's country. And it's vivacious. And it's very just like, it's almost like, it almost sounds like a struggle for them to sing it. And that was another thing that I wanted. I knew that I had sang it before, and I had the people that I had there always said, I love when you sing that, I love when you sing that, I love when you sing that. So I was just like, okay, we'll start with All That Jazz, then we'll do the Etta James, because that's an important part of my vocal personality, and then we'll move it to Sin Wagon, because it's a showstopper.
Yeah,
that song is a showstopper. So as far as like the continuum of music, that's really where that came from. Now the costumes were literally the night before. I was like, you know what?
I can't sing the same thing that Dixie Chicks is. I'm singing with Etta James.
Exactly, exactly. So I had this real slinky like black dress that was like busting out at every seam as we started the show thing. And that was for All That Jazz, because it's a really sultry, very
yeah.
like, you know, it's a jazzy sort of like look at me and my
goodies.
Anybody
who's seen the show or seen the movie,
right?
That
exactly,
visual
exactly.
flesh and
exactly.
skin. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that was a dress I chose for that. And then when I sang the Etta James, I wanted to look a little bit classier, so I had like a black collared shirt and the black boots.
And then when I sang the Dixie Chicks, it was like this trashy black top with this got beer belt and like some other kind of boots or whatever, because I needed that they needed to match. They needed to match the song, and those literally were ideas that I pulled together the night before, because I was like, if I'm gonna make a real like physical appearance, I need to.
Yeah.
This needs to be changed.
I really thought out of the 4 years, and you know, because over 4 years, well, in those 4 years, we had seen 12 different people go through 3 rounds, and I really thought at that time, like, you had the best strategy I'd ever seen to really show.
Thank you.
The full spectrum of like what you could do,
well, right,
stylistically and just appearance, and that you could kind of play a downtown crowd club, or you could play, you know, a barn party, you know, dance. I mean, you really showed that you had that versatility, which to me is what I think makes an idol.
Right.
You know, and any of the idols we look at, you know, we can listen to Tina Turner sing a sultry song, or she can bust it out and sing her old Ike and Tina stuff. You can hear Madonna do, you know, many different things. When you think of these people who are iconic, you know.
Not Cher, but that's okay.
Cher.
Not Cher. She really
got her own thing.
She's just got a few notes there.
She turned back time, and then she, you know, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Well, those are a great song. I love that song.
Me
so
too.
So much fun. So you crowned the idol. What's next? What happened the day after? What was?
Oh, geez. I sort of woke up like...
Your girlfriend
was
so excited.
Oh, my God. Lauren was...
You wowed the entire crowd. I mean, you wowed. You had so many new friends after that night.
And that was my thing. That was my fear, because there were those people that brought, like, what seemed like hundreds of people. And I'm thinking, okay, I've got my humble group of, like, 20 people, which, God help them. Like, it was fantastic. I was very, very glad that they were there. But I was fearful of these other people that brought so many people. I was like, they're going to win based solely on population. But what you were saying was, I kind of, when their person got eliminated, they were like, okay, that girl.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that definitely helped. But obviously, bringing the friends that I did bring, who were loyal, and through the whole thing, they were with me from the very, very beginning. Particularly Lauren, who is working tonight, but she was just like,
she's
she
so
woke
excited.
Up,
right. She was like, she was Mama like, Rose.
Yeah.
She was like,
yeah. Well, because she knew we were going to Vegas, and she was really excited about.
Yeah, because you want to. Trip.
Right, exactly. So the next morning for me, it was just like, wait, what? Well, I don't understand. It definitely did not hit me right away. And Lauren was just like, oh my God, baby, wake up. You're the gay idol. And I was like,
did you realize how big it was going to be when you got there?
No.
That night?
And you know what? Like,
it's probably good that people don't know.
No, because you can't understand all of the good things that can happen, that can come out of it. Because I'm thinking, wow, great. I won a lot of money, and I won some tickets, and I won some airline tickets, and I want to stay at Hotel Allegro, and I want all these things. And every morning I wake up just like, oh, here's another day. And I'm like, but the morning after that, I was like, wow, there's a lot of great things about to happen for me.
Yeah.
Particularly with the gay games, which had initially started that I was going to be in that the big ensemble at Wrigley.
Right.
And I guess they were just sort of like, you know what? We're going to have you audition for the national anthem for the opening ceremonies. And I sang for Osier. Todd Osier?
Yeah.
Todd Osier and various other bigwigs for the whole initiation of the gay games. And
this
I think,
is the thing at Soldier Field, so there were like tens of thousands of people.
Right.
There.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about it was that they had me sing. It was six men, and they had me sing on a porch, on some balcony in Chicago. And I was like, well, the acoustics aren't that great, but I'll see what I can do. And they were just like, well, we'll get you a stylist. And then I was like, wait a minute, this, you don't even have to like confer with each other. This is just like, here you go.
Bang.
And it was unbelievable. It was the most outrageous, it was the most fantastic feeling ever. I was an A-list quote celebrity that night with Megan Mullally and the Hawaiian guy that I can never pronounce his name.
Sarah Tualo.
Tualolo or something. Yes.
Mayor Daley.
Mayor Daley.
And all of them. And I just snapped in there. There was a go-kart that I could just like take to various places. And it was incredible. I kid you not. It was the coolest, most like humbling feeling. They gave me a stylist and they gave me clothes, and I'm just And then to have the microphone in and to know that I'm singing for easily 33,000 people was just mind. I can't actually.
And you
put
sounded
it
amazing. I have to say you were one of the highlights of the whole opening ceremonies. Yeah. And I'm not saying that just because we had anything to do with getting you there in terms of like finding you and all that. But I mean, it was just like a brilliant.
I had actually asked them to turn off the microphone because if I could hear myself inside my head, then I couldn't focus on how I. So it was quite literally like I had turned off all the lights because those lights are so bright. Yeah. You cannot see anything.
It's the hardest thing in the world to sing the national anthem in a stadium.
Right, right.
I've done it. It's not, I'm not in Soldier Field, but I've done
it. Those reverberations
so hard.
And so I just had them turn the microphone off. It was like my ears were completely plugged. I was standing alone in a room with just white light, so I couldn't see anything, and I was just singing.
Yeah.
I couldn't see anybody. I couldn't hear anybody.
Yeah.
So the reason that I think that I went so well and I didn't just piss my pants right there was because I couldn't see them and I couldn't hear them, and I was just singing to myself.
Well, we could see you, so.
Right, exactly. And
we could hear you brilliantly. So it was really, really, really amazing. You've also had other opportunities to perform around in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has that increased kind of how you view, I don't know, just kind of your participation in the way that you can kind of bring something to the community that you hadn't thought of before? Because I know that, you know, with either women's parties or benefits, you know, the other times you've been asked to sing.
Yep.
I know when I started doing radio, I'd never thought about kind of my activism would be in doing something like this.
Absolutely.
And that yours could possibly be in, you know, giving to people in a different way.
Right. I guess kind of what I think about that is that I sort of take opportunities as they come to me. I don't ever really plan anything, which I guess in one way could kind of hurt me. But at the same time, it provides me with avenues that I haven't ever really thought of. And so when people say, hey, can you sing at this event? Because we're really trying to bring in this type of crowd. I am more than happy. Not only because I selfishly want the exposure, but at the same time, like, it is my, if my talent is to entertain and your talent is to bring in revenue for a particular cause that you're working for, let's work together and let's do something that can really make some sort of difference. It can make a dent in how people are thinking or change even one mind. They can tell a friend, they can tell a friend, they can tell a friend. So I think working cooperatively with people who have the other skills to bring about some sort of even activism or political change or however you want to look at it, I think that's sort of the way that I would like to work with someone is in like a cooperative setting where I'm putting in and you're putting in and you're putting in, because I don't understand the skills about like canvassing and I don't own those, but I know that I can give you my voice, and if it's going to help you, fantastic, so be it. That I'll be wherever you need me to be.
So what by trade are you in music?
I'm actually not. I actually work with the Larkin Center. It's in Elgin, and it's a nonprofit children's mental health group. I do case management for them. So I have 15 boys that I participate in anything legal, anything regarding their visits and permanency hearings, like where they're going to go when they leave and all that kind of stuff. And it's probably the most rewarding work. I absolutely love to sing, and I will never stop. I won't. But as far as, first of all, putting bread on my table, but second of all, just the reward that comes with, you made a really big difference in this kid's life. And and whether or not you ever see the fruits of that labor, you know, at some point, what you have done is going to, has helped him in some way. So
that's huge.
What I do. Yeah.
That's everything. And you're changing people with your voice. I mean, definitely, you know, we hope people will come to the Windy City Gay Idol, the fifth annual.
Yep.
Peter and I really have felt like this has been a stellar year, and you've set the bar very high. I mean, as have all the idols. I mean, I know what's really been amazing is that when we started this thing 5 years ago, I don't mean this in any condescending way, but I'm going to say it exactly how it came in my head. I really didn't think we'd find that great of talent. I thought we'd find good talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the first year, I have just been so impressed by this community, this Chicago community. And, you know, there's other cities. You know, Josh Clip, who's the trans, singer. Reporting recording artist that we had on our show a couple of weeks back.
A month or two back.
Anyhow, that, you know, and Josh is a recording artist and all this, and he was the San Francisco Idol a couple of years ago, and that's just totally fallen apart. And, you know, other cities I don't think have really had the success that we've had. I don't know, I like to think it's because we're well run and we really get the word out and we get good talent and people are really willing to just come out and risk it and try it in a diversity of style here.
I think it's a big Chicagoism, and I think in Chicago too, especially in the queer community, we have this weird culture, and it's a delightfully weird culture of karaoke.
We really do it here,
and I think that it took a couple years for people to realize that the Windy City Gay Idol wasn't just people singing karaoke.
Right.
So it was good kismet that you came in at the right time, because you were like, oh wow, and you got it from that very first time that you sang, you got it right away. So I think it's because we have that culture here in Chicago, and I think now people kind of realize, and people say, oh yeah, this thing, that's, oh yeah, that's, it's actually kind of big. So.
Yeah, and I think of the diversity of the people who've won too. It's just it's really been pretty amazing.
Well, so, it's the diversity of the community here too.
Absolutely.
We don't, you know, we literally do have all the colors of the rainbow.
My prediction is that we're going to have a guy this year. That is just my early, early prediction.
Have you seen him yet? Because I don't think I've seen him yet.
I'm not sure that I haven't. So I think there's about three guys right now that could all duke it out. So, you know, who knows what will happen. On June 15th, we'll be at Circuit Nightclub, which is just north of Addison on Halsted, 3364, I believe.
Halsted and Waveland.
Yeah, there you go. Right across from the new Gay and Lesbian Center on Halsted. So, hey, if you're listening to this from anywhere close enough to drive in, it is really an event. It is quite an event. Bud Light has been our sponsor. Christy will be there singing, so you'll get to see Christy sing.
Get to hear Christy sing.
And, you know, Bud Light has truly been, obviously, key to helping keep, you know, gay radio and now gay podcasting alive and well in this area. And also, you know, they are the creators of Windy City Gay Idol with Windy City Media. So it's just, without their support, it's endless. But it's going to be a fun night, folks. Mm-hmm. So go to our website. You can go on the WindyCityQueerCast.com site and you can link on to the Gay Idol page and find out all the information. And, you know, if you didn't try it this year, you got to try next year. It'll inspire you. And Christy, what is next for you? Do you see yourself in the upcoming year as you pass your crown? What would be a wish? Go ahead and manifest it. Like, what is something that you'd love to have happen in the next year? Would you like to get back into doing a theater show? Would you like to sing out more? Would you like to find a collaborative person to play or sing with? Or?
Ideally, I really would just like to be given more opportunities to perform at the local events. Things like, I performed at the Rockstar Party, which was so fun. I had so much fun. And things like that just were like, if there are big events, particularly for women, but at the same time, like, I found that the gay men absolutely love my show tunes.
I would sing
for them.
You got the pipes.
Right. So I think that to be able to sing at more of the fun local events that we have is really something that I would really like to do.
Well, it's an amazing skill and talent that you have, and also you're just very charming, and you've represented us very, very well this year. So thanks for being with us, and we'll be back with more after this.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.